Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning! This episode contains foul language, unbelievable stories, and a real bummer of an ending.
Listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down with one of our friends, co-workers, or family members and chat about something weird. My name is Ashley, and joining me this week, as always, is my lovely co-host Lauren. Last week we sat down with one of my oldest friends, Brett Carell, and we talked about strange history. I talked about the incredibly advanced civilization that made up ancient Egypt, how life was for the ancient Egyptians, and even some crazy and possibly true theories on some of their most well-known pyramids. And Brett told us all about the early career of a man named Nikola Tesla. Have you heard of him? He's truly incredible, and Brett educated us on all the technology we have today, thanks to Tesla. And this week, we're going to start with Brett again, who's here to tell us about Tesla's crazier side. Everyone knows geniuses are a little out there. Well, old Tessie was no exception. And Lauren is going to teach us about the creation of the internet. Who created it, why they created it, and how quickly it evolved to rule our lives. Make sure you're following us on social media to check out our upcoming episodes. We'd love to hear what you have to say about each topic. Do you have questions or theories or stories that you want us to cover? Send them in to us. Coming up, we have a listener ghost stories episode, a Holly Weird minisode, urban legends, a hometown haunts Iowa, which should be interesting, famous feuds, another conspiracy theories with Handsome Joe, and so much more. All right, let's get to it. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, you might want to go back a week. We're hopping in on Brett telling us all about Tesla and when Tesla started to get a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you next week for some spooky stories.
So one thing he was developing was a mechanical oscillator.
Back to the oscillator.
I don't know what an oscillator is. I mean, well, it's a back and forth fan.
But like what did, what, why?
This one, he was developing it for something.
Okay.
And he had to make an adjustment. So this oscillator was on a platform. So he climbs up on the platform to make the adjustment while it's still running. And the vibrations transferred, the vibrations from this oscillator transferred through the platform into his body.
Ooh.
And he thought it was like a weird sensation. So he asked his assistants to come up and try it. And they all tried it. And when they stepped off, they all had this strange feeling. And then immediately they all had to go take a shit.
Oh.
Like.
What?
It cleansed them.
No.
Like it shook loose.
Poo.
Their bowels.
The So they immediately, like, had to go make poopy.
What on earth?
Yeah.
How did this thing make them go poop?
So then what did they do with this?
So, well, he kept tinkering with it. And like I said, Mark Twain was one of his friends.
So he's like, hey, Mark, Mark,
take a shit.
So like, I got to show you something.
come stand on this. I got to show you something. And the same thing happened.
He had to go poop.
But they were calling it, they continued to do it, and they called it mechanical therapy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
For years, believing that it improved their health.
Oh, no.
And when, so Mark Twain also continued to do it, and according to Tesla, after 2 months of continuously doing this, Mark Twain was the healthiest he'd ever been. He was, like, enjoying life to the fullest.
Huh.
I don't know if it's related, but that's what he was saying.
Oh, that's true.
Right. It could have been.
But I don't think he changed his diet or his lifestyle. It's just he started standing on this poop machine.
The oscillating poop platform.
Where did this go?
Well,
yeah. What happened next? Please tell us.
So Tesla was still experimenting. He was like fascinated with this
thing. Yeah, well,
so
I would be too if I had a poop machine.
He kept experimenting with it, but he decided to start increasing the vibrations.
Uh-oh.
So he would turn it up a notch. And he continued to do so. He did it so much so that he started hearing cracking sounds.
Oh,
and then
no.
Stuff started flying off the shelves.
Oh.
And like it got, according to what I read, machinery was flying around his lab. And so he grabbed a hammer and just smashed the machine to stop it. He nearly demolished the building. Ooh. Like it was his earthquake machine. He said he created an earthquake machine.
That's
but
so
it, like he turned it up so high that it almost took the building down around him.
It had
what
that
was
much
it doing?
Force.
It was just vibrating the building at such a frequency that it was shaking everything apart.
It was just vibrating.
It was just vibrating.
Okay.
But it was the frequency at which it was vibrating that was like tearing the building apart. But he
that's so scary.
So he breaks it. And they go outside because I guess they hear something.
Yeah.
And it was madness. Like, there were police. There were ambulance. No one knew what was happening. They were just...
Everyone
building
was
cracking. Everything in the immediate area was, like, just vibrating.
Whoa.
And as soon as Tesla saw the police and everyone, he went to his assistants. He goes, say nothing. And they went back inside and they never told the police or anything.
What?
So it was like
Good
a mini earthquake.
Assistants.
Localized to that building.
Whoa.
From this machine.
What the hell was this?
Now, here's the thing. Was the machine actually like vibrating or was it sending out...
Ooh,
it was...
Question.
Was it sending out some sort of electricity that made it you feel like
well,
you
it
were...
Well, it was a
like a subwoofer. You know how a subwoofer...
Yeah.
Like,
so, like,
you could feel it.
Yeah.
It might have been that. But it was what... Everything I saw was that it was vibrating because of a frequency. So it could have...
It could have been that.
But
so
he didn't.
Kind of,
there was no like word of like it hurting his ears or anything
right.
like that.
But it may have been sending out something that was shaking.
It was sending something
that you
out
could feel.
That could destroy a building and make you poop
Damn.
Your pants.
I wonder if everyone in the area was also shitting while they were vibrating. Like, was everyone just having explosive diarrhea?
Everyone, like the cops were like,
police were like, why? Oh God! I have to change
my
pants.
Back to the
Everyone's
station.
Just running around with a hand on their butt.
Oh God. Yeah,
that's what I'm imagining.
That should be a drunk history episode.
Seriously,
I'm gonna write a letter. He lives in my neighborhood, so I'll just like run into him.
Oh, perfect.
Oh,
what's his name? I'm sorry,
Drew. I don't know.
No.
Who are you talking about?
Drew?
The guy who does drunk history, like the host.
I don't know, Drew.
Drew?
It's not Drew.
Drew?
Oh, what is his name?
James,
I don't know, but our
Jake.
Old friend Carl,
Steve.
I don't want to say his name
Carl.
Just to be polite, but Carl from background
has
been on twice. Let's just reach out to him.
Okay, go on.
Anywho.
So that was kind of the start of his madness. Then he really started to focus.
He seems like he's getting a little, at this point, he seems like he's getting a little
off his
reckless.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just
well,
being
he,
like...
he after this, he started to focus more on his wireless energy technology.
Yeah,
right. Which we've seen mm-hmm. in Colorado.
Yes. So that's...
In the Prestige.
In Colorado Springs, he built a lab. Someone invested, I think, I don't remember who it was. J.P. Morgan, maybe? Someone. Some big...
Was it
bigwig,
Christian
big
Bale?
Bigwig with a whole lot of money.
Invested
was
a bunch
it?
Of money to send him to Colorado so he could work on this wireless technology. So he had this lab. It was all in secret. So there were signs everywhere. There were fences up. And he was trying to create a wireless technology to send energy, to send messages, to send pictures, to send sound, to send all of this stuff wirelessly over great distances for free. That was his goal.
He wanted to make the internet.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah.
And like cell phones, like texting, yeah. All that yeah. Shit is
the phone, yeah, phones
based off
in
of
general.
This.
Yeah, it's what he was doing.
Yeah.
The scene in The Prestige, though, all jokes aside, where he puts the light bulb in the ground,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was actually something that he did.
Yeah. That was a real
thing.
Oh,
yeah, he actually did that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
He had his little Tesla coil, mm-hmm. I guess it was a big one, and he put light bulbs in the ground, like however far away from the coil, and then turned the coil on, and they lit
all
up.
Lit up. It's
yeah,
amazing.
It was on his property in Colorado.
Yeah.
So cool.
That's insane.
Which was nuts.
That is just so far beyond where he should have been.
So he was using high voltage, and he believed he could send these electric power abundantly and cheaply anywhere on the planet, and he could not. It didn't work. And then he started saying that he was receiving messages from Mars.
He probably was.
He might have been. But that's his claim, was that he was receiving these waves from what he claimed was Mars.
Yeah.
Eventually, that place burned down.
Why?
And he had to move back to New York.
I say why as if he wasn't dealing with, like, pure electricity.
Right.
How did it burn down?
Yeah, he created a gigantic Tesla coil in this. It was a barn.
In
so it was a wooden
barn.
Structure.
Wooden barn.
Well,
and
that
it
wasn't
was
smart.
Shooting
Hay
out.
Barrels. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Loads of electricity, and it just burned the place down.
Ah, I see.
That checks out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I get it.
He wasn't done with his wireless technology. So he got, I think this is JP Morgan, gave him $150,000 or $200,000, which at the time was a lot of money.
Shit ton of money at the time.
And so he wanted to continue his wireless technology. So he built on Long Island, Staten Island, one of those two.
One of the islands.
I don't know how many acres, and built what he called Wardenclyffe.
Okay.
Which it was based on the same experiments from Colorado Springs that he could use, except this time he built this gigantic tower outside and had it drilled into the earth, and he believed that he could use the earth to send power and messages around the world.
Much like the Egyptians did.
And so he designed the tower to send the wireless messages, or that at least that's what he told the investor.
Uh-huh.
In reality, it was to send free wireless energy to anyone on the planet. Mm. You just had to have this special antenna. So,
okay,
like, if you had this antenna,
it.
you could get free energy as much as you wanted.
So you could just power your house.
Yeah. So it was one of those where he like told an investor one thing to get money, and then did something in secret that was not that.
Well, because, yeah, an investor would never give you money for that because they're not going to get
they're
money.
They're not
going to
get money, yes.
Because you have
exactly.
Free energy.
Right. But Tesla was doing something good.
He ended up running out of money.
Mm, of course.
And he moved into a hotel. He eventually had to sell or give the hotel this property and everything just to pay for his bill because he had been at this hotel for so long.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't done, like, creating and inventing. So he tried to also create a bladeless turbine. So, like, you know the turbines on planes?
Yeah.
They have blades that spin.
Right.
But he was trying to create a bladeless one.
Interesting.
Probably with that same vibrating.
Well, this was, it was an oscillator, thing. I think. But it never worked out. I think it was because of the technology he had available to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only go so far.
Right.
But he never got it to work properly. Mm-hmm. But it did get use because people started using it as a pump. And it worked well as a pump. And
this keeps thinking. This keeps making me think of like Dyson technology.
Yeah,
you know, like the
the cyclone
hair dryer, whatever. That's just like
that
the circle.
Oh, like and the fan.
There's no fans
or anything.
Yeah,
they try to take
blades
and fans out of everything.
Out of everything. That's what
that
Dyson
really
technology
true.
Does. I wonder if that's
inspired by Tesla. That's what they should start saying.
But this bladeless.
Who's that Tesla?
Turbine also helped with like. Speedometers and other measuring instruments.
Right.
And it developed a new process for refining metals. So I think they use it in a lot of like mining operations.
Huh.
And that brings us to his really just nonsense stuff.
It wasn't
late
Mars?
In his life. So when he, yeah. So when he was living in this hotel, he was
kind of broke.
He was still coming up with these ideas. One of his ideas was to create a device to control the weather. One of his ideas was to photograph thought.
Oh. Well.
Well.
We talked about that a little bit.
We talked about that a little bit on the AI episode, and it's kind of possible.
Yep. Saying it will be. He was ahead of his time.
Another one of his ideas was a death ray.
Oh. Or what
he called it a peace ray. Which was just a particle beam weapon that he said could bring down 10,000 planes from hundreds of miles away.
Jeez.
And his way of thinking was that if it were to be built and it worked, it would result in world peace.
Because everyone would be too scared.
Because in his idea, every nation would have one. So if every nation had one, it would be a deterrent for war.
No one would ever want to start. Right.
But I feel like most countries have nuclear weapons. And it's still...
We still threaten each other all the fucking time.
Yep. Just another Tuesday.
But he had good intentions.
Sure.
Yeah.
But his...
I want to hear more about Mars. Like, what were they saying to him exactly?
That was never said. Oh, he just kind of knew
he was getting messages from Mars.
He had an interview with a paper, and he said he was receiving messages from Mars. But his death ray, this particle beam, is essentially like the first idea of a laser.
Yeah.
So like lasers based on.
So
this.
It sounds like Tesla had, even though like Thomas Edison had thousands of patents and Tesla only had like 300 or whatever patents, it does sound like Tesla had more of a reach into like our time today.
Yes. He seems like more of an innovator, I think. Like he could really look ahead and, I don't know, his creativity
seemed to soar a bit
more.
Yeah, Thomas Edison kind of seemed more like a businessman, and Tesla seemed more like the...
Look what we can do.
The genius.
Get creative,
actually made the things.
Right.
Hmm.
It's kind of what I'm getting.
Later, like, I don't know, in his last 10 or 15 years in his life, when he was just old and probably going senile, he said he created a new motor that could work on cosmic rays. Not sure what that means.
Okay.
He also said that he had developed a pocket-sized mechanical oscillator earthquake machine that could destroy the Empire State Building.
Ooh.
I feel like that was bullshit.
Well.
But maybe he did.
I know. Who knows?
And for his 80th birthday, Tesla informed reporters that he wiggled his toes several hundred times before bed as a way of toning up his body so that he would live for 135 years.
What?
Did it work?
No.
Oh.
He died when he was, I think, 85 or something.
Still, 85
right
is old as shit.
I was
for that
thinking, as soon
time
as he
period,
said 80
though,
years
right?
old, I was like, whoa.
And he, what did he die of, by the way, FYI?
He died in his sleep, so.
Old age.
Like, in a hotel.
So the aliens took him.
Yep.
Yes.
They
well,
brought
I was wondering,
their man
like,
up with them.
The proximity that he was to all of these like machines and this fucking oscillator that made you poop and all this stuff. Like, I wonder, it would not be a surprise to me if it was like he had several brain tumors.
Sure.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
The things that he had touched.
But he wasn't.
Had run
the thing is,
him.
Is he was dealing with electricity, which, like I said earlier, is a natural thing found in our world. It's not like he was dealing with microwaves.
Sure. It's true.
That's when you.
But
get
I still
into
think he was vibrating
situation.
And pooping a whole lot.
Yeah.
True. That can't
yes.
be good
well,
for you.
Well, he was like later in his life. He took a lot of daily walks around New York, and on one of those walks, he was hit by a taxi.
Oh,
And he did. He refused medical treatment.
Damn.
And so he never fully recovered from that.
No.
All he did was go stand in front of his poop machine. He was like, "No worries, I'll be better.
I'll be
soon.
Great.
And
this will solve my problems."
He also was very particular about what he ate. So later in his life, he insisted on a strict diet, which first consisted of boiled vegetables. Then it was just only warm milk.
Ew.
Like, that's it?
Yeah.
All he had was warm milk.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And, I mean, that could have led to his death.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe. That could have probably contributed somewhat. Yep.
But towards the end of his life, he was like, He went to the same park every time and like would feed the pigeons, and he said he could communicate with the pigeons.
All right.
Well,
he fell in love with one of the female pigeons.
No,
he fell
oh,
in
honey.
Love with, and he said
oh,
that, the,
honey.
And he said that the pigeon loved him back, and he knew exactly which pigeon it was. And when that pigeon died, he was heartbroken.
Maybe that's what killed him.
Maybe.
Oh, heartbreak from the pigeon relationship. Maybe.
And but after he died, the government, he made these claims of the death ray and all these other things.
Yeah.
So the government came in and after his death and took all of his materials from his hotel room. They took it all. They secured it, and the National Defense Research Committee was summoned to review all of it. And the group was led by an electrical engineer and physicist at the time, John G. Trump.
Ugh.
Donald Trump's uncle.
No.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
No.
What?
Not at all. He was like a very smart guy from MIT.
What happened down the family line? Happened?
Who knows? Who the fuck
knows? Who was inbred in that family?
But they went through all of it and they declared that there was no verification to any of his claims. But it's still...
Sure.
Tesla's nephew was trying to get all this material from the government, and it still took him years before he could get all of it back. And from what I read, there was Tesla's personal notebook that was never given back, and the government says they don't have it.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
I was going to say, they probably said, like, oh, he was just crazy, like, all of his claims, and then... But in some bunker somewhere, they actually have a fucking death ray,
right?
Like based on Tesla's work.
Well,
I also think it would be interesting if Tesla, like, because he could do all of that in his head, if he wrote down like 3/4 of each, you know, right. like invention, and then kept the other fourth up here and was like,
"You'll
take
never
it from me.
Complete it.
You'll never get it."
Well, I wonder because like a lot of like naval ships now. Well, I don't know about a lot, but some of them have rail guns, which is like kind of like a death ray,
similar.
I guess.
Ew.
Is
so
that,
they did
is that
do
the what's it called? Rail
gun? Rail gun.
Is that the one that shoots like the sonic
waves? No, this one, I don't know what this one shoots, but it might be like a,
to the description.
It might be like a laser, but it also might be like,
what does it do?
This, it's a gun, but it can like penetrate anything.
Oh shit.
So like, cool. If it hits a ship, it's going through that ship.
Oh,
and it can,
my God.
It's fast.
Well, I didn't know if it was like the,
because
I know they, I don't know exactly what happened with this, but I remember reading about sonic guns that would kind of
sonic
knock
wave?
You over,
like
essentially.
Like those guns you get at a Hot Topic where you pull it back and
yeah.
it shoots a,
and you
shoots
like feel the air.
An air ring.
Only it's
but
like
this would
sonic
be
waves and it could like, yeah, it could like, yeah. you know, blast your fucking
Mama
head off.
Knock you out.
Exactly. Actually,
like
LL
that.
Cool J has one.
Oh, good.
So, free, go on.
No, that's, I mean, that's his.
That's his life.
That's
my
that
man,
was,
Tesla.
That was Tesla. He was nuts, but
he was
brilliant.
Insane,
but
so
him.
Intelligent. And I guarantee that notebook is in the hands of the government, and we've just been using every single
idea.
No,
it's 100%. We have it. I mean, we don't have it. We'll never have it, but they have it. The deep state has it.
The deep state has it.
But the free energy thing, that's something that, you know, people are still trying to work on today.
Yeah.
But it's being...
But I think there's a lot of like roadblocks.
Oh, there's a ton of roadblocks because who...
another thing is Tesla was like an electric battery.
Charge for that.
Which is what like all the Tesla cars use.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was... kind of his idea.
It's from him.
Or something he wanted to do.
I mean, imagine, the thing is like, if the world had free energy, I mean, the world would be an exponentially better place.
Mm-hmm.
We would no longer have to use like fossil fuels and stuff like that. The ozone layer would be protected.
We'd be
like,
saving
we'd be able
the world.
To breathe.
Cleaner air.
Plants wouldn't die. You know what I mean? And it would be affordable. Everyone would have it.
Yeah.
Better economy.
Be something
better
you're all
economy.
Guaranteed.
But the thing is that the companies that sell
electricity.
Who's going to get behind
fuel.
This?
Fuel.
Yeah. Precisely.
Which, yeah. The only time that it's going to happen is going to miraculously happen when we fucking run out.
Right.
And that's it.
And
then
there's
still going to find a way to charge for
it. The next week we'll have it.
Yeah. And then they'll be
like
we a breakthrough. And it's like, fuck, go fuck yourself.
We just discovered that we could.
Yes. I was the only thing I had for electricity was how much people hated light bulbs when they first.
Oh yeah, you were saying.
Well, yeah, because like first of all, they were super unreliable. Second of all, it gave people headaches because people were so used to just like daylight and candles, but especially when the actual light bulbs came, artificial light came around, mm-hmm. people had migraines.
People refused
to use them. There were some people who spent a good portion of their life with electricity invented and did not use any of it.
Right.
Because we were saying earlier, some people thought it was sorcery. Mm-hmm. Some people thought there's no way this can be safe. Some people thought I have headaches. So right. There are people, actually that episode of Downton Abbey, remember, where they get light bulbs mm-hmm. and Dame, what's her name? I always said Dame Judy Dench.
I know that's where you're going, but it's not. Yeah, what is her name? I know her as Professor McGonagall. Oh, yeah. Maggie
Gyllenhaal.
Dame Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Smith?
Smith. Is yeah.
It? Yeah.
Dame Maggie Smith in the episode.
Professor McGonagall for life.
She's literally like,
get away.
Get away. Light bulbs. No, thank you. Yeah,
there's also an episode where they get a record player, but they're so excited and it's the cutest.
I like the episode where they get the phone for the first time. Yes. And
they're like, what? Hello? Like putting it up to their ear and their mouth.
Well, because you'd just pick up the phone and say, and it was just an operator. Like you didn't dial numbers or anything. And you could just like pick up a phone and talk to somebody.
You had to like crank the side.
You crank the side.
You'd have something to hear in, but you had to talk into a whole other.
Yeah.
It was just a big deal.
It was a good time. I remember.
Good times. So, guys.
That was not nice. Hi, hello.
Hey, hello. So I'm kind of like the short and sweet little end of this after the amazing stories you guys just told. Well, I definitely don't have as much, but I wanted to kind of stay on the timeline as we're going through and get up to one of the most current crazy times in our lives, which was when the internet was coming about.
Yay!
Hooray.
And I was so hesitant to do the internet at first because I thought we all know enough about it. But actually, through my research, I didn't really know the history of it at all. And I was kind of excited. Do you guys know about it?
I don't know anything. The only thing I know is my favorite thing is they play it on my alt radio station, my 90s alt rock radio station. They play the audio from this clip. But I think it was Al Roker. It was like a news clip where they're talking about email and they're like, email, and they're like,
what's
it's like sending letters but you online and you don't have to send anything, and they're like, so you're telling me that I can just send a message to anyone in the world? And it's just like,
they're
to
so
see
fascinated.
That is like, Jesus Christ, get a life. You
but
know
it's
what I mean?
So crazy that this happened in our lifetime, and I now understand their excitement because we were so young when the internet came about. Like I remember a computer just appearing in our house one day and my dad's like, listen to this, and it was like beep boop 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 boop, dialing up, you know, into the thing.
Yeah,
and then welcome, you've got mail, when it would get into AOL, and I was like, what have
what
you brought into
is
this home?
Happening?
So it just kind of appeared, and I never really knew the history. So it was kind of fun to look in. And sorry to our listeners if you know all of this already. Just shut us off.
Strap in,
or strap in and listen for round two. So, basically, the phone was the first thing to come around that let us communicate with people who were far away. And it was insane because we had Morse code before that and telegraphs and these different things. But then the telephone came around.
CBD radio.
There were these cool things coming about. But the telephone absolutely revolutionized communication. That was the first step. And that was definitely something that was being worked on by a ton of people, kind of similar to what you were saying. And Alexander Graham Bell just happened to be the first one to jump on it and patent it, which I thought was interesting because a ton of other people were also fighting for it. And it happened on accident with his assistant. They were trying to make a harmonic telegraph that could send different pitches and send multiple messages at the same time.
Interesting.
But his assistant accidentally electrified a vibrating reed on the telegraph, and they realized they could use vibration to produce and receive sound waves. And that's how they invented the phone and hopped on it. And in 1876,
so really,
he brought
Alexander
it to the
Graham
World Fair.
Bell like didn't do shit.
It was his assistant.
His assistant.
I know. So it kind of was.
Dame Judy Dench.
Dame Judy Dench is what I said.
Dame Judy Dench.
But the phone was the craziest thing, and I want to give a little respect to the phone, even though that's what I'm not fully talking about. Because
but still, how it changed.
It changed everything. This was the first thing that really
It was like skyrocketed the printing press communication, yes. And the phone.
And then the phone.
It changed like human communication.
Because it just made communication so easy. People couldn't believe, similar to the email wonderment, that they could talk to someone in real time. Like, how are you hearing me? I don't understand.
How are you hearing me? Do you have a string?
And the phone was so amazing that people just wanted to make it better and wondered, okay, how can we just do more with this? How can we communicate even further? How can we do this without using these tall towers and these power lines that phones are connected to? So the internet that we know today was formed a little bit later in life. But if we first go back a bit to 1957 after Sputnik's launch, the satellite that went up in 1957, this is when Americans started to freak out. It was after Sputnik went into the air and they thought the Soviet Union, as we knew them then, they thought they are so much further along than us. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? We're not doing research on the right things. Yeah. We're trying to make bigger cars and get cool television sets and they're sending satellites into orbit and what the hell? So they started to really freak out and hunker down on the sciences right around this time. So there started being more science classes coming into schools. There weren't always chemistry classes and biology classes and all of this stuff. So they were really starting to push science classes into schools.
It was just like reading and writing.
Yeah. Just arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
And arithmetic.
Yeah, yeah. That's all you learned.
It was the basics. So they're like, no, no, no. We need to start pushing science into all the schools. Let's get these in the colleges. There was a little bit there, but they were really starting to push. And also large corporations were starting to fund more scientific research. And America just really wanted to keep up.
Oh, Penny's back.
There's a cat back. Pen.
Penny found the shoes again.
Back to the laces. So we're diving in head first. We want to be able to keep up with technology. And also we want to be able to defend ourselves.
Yeah, we want to be the first, like, and we want to be safe.
Yes. Yeah. Like, what are they going to do to us with this technology that they're doing over there? We need to defend ourselves and also have something in line. So let's hop to it. And during this big study and science surge, they're starting to realize that our telephone lines could be blown up and we could lose all communication in a heartbeat so easily. If a missile were to fly at us, they would blow up those power lines. Everything would go down. Those towers are so easy to hit. They're tall. They're everywhere. We have landlines.
Well, and you become dependent on technology so quickly.
Yeah. Communication was everything.
If we lost that, and we would, I mean, that would be it.
We have nothing. Yeah. And so this mostly was for the military, obviously, as I've been saying. They wanted to make sure there was a communication that could be a little more invisible and a little bit more something that they could send, not just with landlines. They could send data and they could send information to soldiers on the front lines, being able to contact an airplane, being able to contact someone in another country. They needed something that wasn't going to rely on phones and could also be wireless and reach everything, like we were talking about before. It always wanted to be wireless. And how, yes, can we just get this anywhere? How do we get this big galactic network of communication? So during this big surge of science research, this is when NASA was formed, which we all know so well. And also this agency called ARPA, which was the Department of Defense's little agency called Advanced Research Projects Agency. And ARPA is the agency that began to start to form computer-to-computer communication and internet networking in order to exchange data. They went all in on this. This was their main thing. So we started off with computers the size of small houses.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like,
the
buildings.
Largest systems, a full building. And between 1962 and 1965, scientists from MIT and ARPA were coming up with ideas and blueprints that could make this galactic network possible. They were forming all their theories, getting their plans in order. And then in 1969, the first communication was sent from a large house of a computer in a lab in UCLA to another large computer over at Stanford. The message was one word, and it was login, L-O-G-I-N. And they were so excited. This was the first test. The message, sadly, that it said login.
You'd think that they would say, it would be like boobs.
Boobs. Penis.
Because you know it's all guys.
Or, right, all these
or like
guys standing
the
around.
Images that you make with like,
oh yeah, like, the, like, what is that called?
Like with
name.
Letters. So like,
oh yeah.
I mean, like just a pair of tits.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they could have made little like, boobs. Yeah. Or like the guy with his arms up in the air. we all do.
The shruggy guy?
The guy is just like, I don't know.
The Reddit guy?
He's okay. My favorite.
Yeah.
No, they did log in.
Okay.
And sad news, guys. The message only made it partially on their very first test. Stanford received the L and the O, but not the rest. But
where did it go?
Where did it disappear to? I mean, thin air.
Where is it
now? Where is it? But this was still...
One of these days, I'm going to be like, I'm going to get a text that just says like G-I-N. Gin. And I'm going to be like, I found it.
Gin arrived. It made it to me.
Go on.
Gin. So but this was still very exciting and huge. They had found a way for data to be reformed into little blocks or packets, as they called them, and then it could find its own route from computer to computer. So this was still a very exciting thing. They called it packet switching, but again, this is all of the terms that I don't fully understand.
Right.
But it was basically like all of the content, the data that they wanted to send had to be put into a packet that could be then sent to another computer, and it had to be able to understand the route to get to that other network. But this was a huge first step. Yeah, this was a big deal. And this was all to be formed for the military. That's who this was all for.
Yeah, it wasn't for like... Not Joe Schmo.
Right. Who's like, I want a computer in my house.
And his wife who wants to look up a recipe on Martha Stewart's website.
I need Pinterest. The government desired to have the ability to send the data, you know, out to the people fighting on enemy lines. And this communication of networks would be invisible. So that dream is what the internet eventually
and
became.
Hard to destruct.
Yes. And very hard to destruct, which was the main thing. So this made it challenging with the current state of this little mini internet that they had made, because the data was still very wired. It was in this wired ARPA network, they were calling it, since it was made by the ARPA team. And to get it to go out to more distant places, or to get it to connect to a radio to then be broadcast out, or to hit a satellite, there was still so much more that had to happen. So this first step was awesome and they were celebrating it, but it was still a very wired network so far.
Yeah.
So by the early 70s, four computers had joined this small little ARPA network, and the computers were getting better at communicating using the packet switches. However, as more and more people were wanting to join, starting with Hawaii, they wanted to have AlohaNet, which I thought was cute.
Aww.
Hawaii wanted to get in on it, and they were realizing we need to step up our game. There needs to be some sort of middleman. Something needs to happen to help us, you know, code into a different signal to get it out of there. Because basically what I learned was this would be like two completely different languages trying to communicate if you were to try and send something a long distance. If you're trying to get on a completely different network, it's like Spanish trying to communicate with Mandarin, and it's going to get jumbled and the message isn't going to make it there intact. And it's just not going to work. So there had to be a completely
unified system. So it would like show up on another computer as like wingdings?
Yes. And it was such a big undertaking when you think about all of this, because you had to have this unified system that could be a universal language for all networks to understand, but it also had to be wireless, and it had to have coding, and it
was this
crazy
thing. Is
this
how they came up
thing.
With like the zeros and the ones?
Binary?
Binary?
Oh.
I don't know.
Definitely could be.
I don't know anything.
It definitely could be. I
but
didn't find
the
that specifically.
Language,
that is
right?
Like the universal code.
The binary code.
I don't know the specifics that they used.
I
just know that it was awesome that they got there, because honestly, they were sitting there.
Because how?
Staring at this network thinking, this is maybe a long shot. Like, we have this idea of how we could possibly make it happen, but this is crazy town. So then this is when my favorite part of the story comes into play. There is this group of seven scientists meeting at a beer garden in Silicon Valley here in California in 1976.
Cool.
They meet at this bar called Rosati's, and it's behind this hotel called the Alpine Inn. It still exists today. They were sitting at a picnic table with a huge computer, and they were starting the internet that we know today just here in this beer garden, using the work of these two scientists named Vinton Cerf and Robert Kahn, who came up with the very first internet protocol, the universal protocol, the way that data can be shared universally. So these seven people.
That's where I get my best ideas, though.
I know. You got to have a little beer next
the
to
bar.
You. They're sitting out on a nice day in good old California.
Drunk as a skunk. They're like, what if we had?
What are we doing? So it's six guys and a girl. Hey, girl. And
there was a girl there?
There was a girl there.
Oh.
I know. Super proud of her. They're sitting super at this picnic table.
I don't know her at all.
No, I'm sure it's open. They have their computer on the picnic table. All of these cables leading out to a van that's out in the parking lot connected to their computer.
Not conspicuous at all.
The van then has an antenna on top of it. That antenna is shooting out to a mountaintop that has some sort of repeater box on it, which again, we were talking about like all these transmitter boxes that we don't understand, had some sort of repeater transmitter box that was up there receiving the signal, and it then amplified it to give it another extra boost that then sent it to an office a little ways away, also in California, over in Menlo Park. And then the computer over in Menlo Park could receive the message. So they were testing it here with all these things in place, but leading back to this little computer sitting on a picnic table. And they sent out a message. Also, I want to include, this is like a rough crowd bar. Like Rosati's had, like Hell's Angels were known to hang out there, and just like lots of bikers, and just like,
so it's just these, just imagine couple these of little nerds. Scientists.
Yeah, these were Stanford researchers, just all these little goobs over here hanging around with the bikers. But they sent out their first message. The office in Menlo Park received the message perfectly intact from this beer garden, and it was the very first successful transmission.
I like to think that it was like, yes, I like to think of it as like a movie where like you see the nerds, you see like the bikers like kind of like picking on them, but then like it cuts back to the nerds and the bikers are really interested in what they're doing, and then when they're like, we sent the message, and the bikers are like,
huddled behind them, like staring at the screen.
Exactly. Everyone's hugging.
Yeah, it's
the
really
biker falls in love with the nerdy girl.
Yes,
maybe.
And then one of the guys falls in love with a pigeon. I can see it. I can see it.
So they were, these people were the first to have the successful transmission, but they were taking the work of those two guys, Vinton Cerf and Robert Kahn, who came up with a way to make the internet flexible. They were the ones that basically made a message be able to travel anywhere, no matter if it was going to a radio signal or some type of satellite dish. So they put it into words to explain to dum-dums, like, water can be ice, vapor, or liquid. This was the same idea with the data. It had to change its form to get through certain routers and go all these different ways. And I found out that even today, when we are doing a simple Google search, it's going through like 13 different routers before it gets to us, but it just happens.
I feel really bad about like every Google search that I do now.
No.
I all do so many Google searches.
But now it's so fast, it happens instantly. Whereas this, I'm sure, started off very slow, but the message still got there. And they kept working on it and working on it. They realized the message could travel all the way across the country to Boston, still in perfect condition. It could travel miles and miles. And so they kept moving with this idea. And by 1977, they had conquered communicating with three different networks. And throughout the 80s, the internet just was soaring. They had finally mastered it, but it was still only being used by the military and the government. They were just using it to exchange data, and researchers were also allowed to use it to
share their educational tools. How to make it affordable for regular people.
Sure.
Because this, like, this crazy. Again, the computers were house sized.
Yeah. And they were huge.
They progressively are getting smaller even to this day.
Yes.
But even I remember my first computer in 1998. That thing was, I mean, it was as big as that TV and not cool looking at all.
And it had that huge back that extended out to the wall.
Yeah.
And then you had to,
it got
huge
really
actual
hot.
Computer under you.
Yeah.
The fan would come on inside.
Yes.
Yeah. So these computers were crazy. But I mean, this was an insane, new, powerful invention that was connecting the whole world, and mostly the military, and people being able to communicate in different countries now with this amazing new invention. So there's also a cool little plaque outside of Rosati's up in Silicon Valley that says, this day in August 1976, we honor the seven scientists from Stanford and their breakthrough, and it talks about
so
it.
So sweet.
Which
That's
I think is
the
so
end
adorable.
Shot of the movie. It's where like, they like pan, they pan, and then they, yeah, and then they like show the plaque.
The music on Instagram.
And then it cuts to a picture of the actual person and be like, Mark Ruffalo played this guy. And then it'll be like, he went on to
like do
the,
this.
The
and it's showing the real
the
people like dancing by the picnic
table.
And you're
oh man. And it freeze frames on
frames.
The, okay.
Da, na, na, na.
Right. I'm writing it.
It's like the end of Tag.
I didn't see Tag.
Oh, it's good.
Is it?
I've actually heard it's a good time.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
I love Jake Johnson.
He is Nick Miller.
Never does anything.
Nope. We love him.
Go on. Love him. Did you guys see Drinking Buddies?
Yes.
No.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's so good. And it's mostly improvised, isn't it?
Almost the entire,
they just kind of let him run wild.
It's Olivia Wilde.
Jason Sudeikis.
Jason Sudeikis is kind of in it.
Yeah, he's a small part, but.
Anna Kendrick, Jake Johnson. It's so good.
It is good.
And it takes place in Chicago. Go on.
Oh, we love Duh it even
Bears.
More.
Right, guys?
The Bears.
Right?
Bears.
Right, guys?
Right? Chicago? Sorry, Chicago. I'll stop interrupting you with Nick Miller talk.
No, Nick Miller talk is always loud. So that's what was going on through the 80s. The military was using it. Researchers were using it. It was amazing. But by the early 90s, a programmer named Tim Berners-Lee from Switzerland came along who formed what we now know as the World Wide Web. He wanted to create a way for any civilian to get online and look for information. So he thought there should be a web of information to search from rather than just a way to exchange files. He thought, that's great and all for these research nerds over here, but the whole world could be benefiting from what right. the internet can do. Like, there's a wealth of knowledge out there. So Tim was forming this with his programming knowledge in 1991. And then in 1992, some researchers from the University of Illinois, holla, U of I, Champaign-Urbana. I didn't even go there, guys. I'm just cheering because it's Illinois.
No, I didn't either.
But I didn't either.
It was just exciting because it's close from there. To our home.
Southern Illinois.
Yes.
Woot woot. Illinois State.
Okay.
C-Town proud.
They created a browser that actually would be, you know, a little more user-friendly, kind of taking Tim's idea, but making it easy to use for all the dum-dums. They created a browser called Mosaic, which eventually got changed to Netscape, which you guys might remember.
Yeah.
I remember Netscape. The very first browser.
It was like the one. So this is when we finally had pages with search bars and scrollers, and we actually could find ways to navigate and find the information that we wanted.
When did Angel Fire start?
Oh, God. That's a great question. Probably around this time, right?
I love Angel Fire. Go on.
Probably great 1993.
Okay.
No, I have no idea. Once the web became a place for everyone, that's when businesses realized that they could make themselves more known getting onto the internet. And that's when people started creating websites, starting to sell their merchandise on there, putting all of their money toward the web because people could see this is where the future's going. Like, this is obviously where we're all
going. The internet
was,
it wasn't like the wheel or lights. It was like everyone was scared of this. They were ready.
Yeah. Somebody tested it and said, this is incredible. How did I get that information that fast? And
we
it
were
just
also
blew
at a
up.
Place in like society where it wasn't like, this is witchcraft.
Right. We've come a little further. Yeah, we all like, had our like banana colored phones in our houses, you know. Like, we were getting there. First businesses got on there and it was also used for research. And then after the 90s was when the internet kind of just went insane
bananas.
And became the internet we know today. We had AOL, we had chat rooms,
MSN.
Email, porn, chat roulette. Does anyone remember chat roulette?
Oh, yeah.
Do I remember? It still exists.
I actually don't know if it still exists. It is like a dark thing now. I think it does exist, but it's just penises.
I think the last time I got on there was just like cock.
Yeah.
Which I was
sad about because, to be honest, when it first came out, it was kind of fun. Me and my friends would get on it and you'd sometimes like it would be all girls and you'd come across a group of all boys and then you'd all chat and get to know each other. Or sometimes you just make a buddy. And then literally within a year, it was just penises. So,
yeah, well,
it went
you remember
the
Ben Folds thing on chat roulette? That was a lot of fun.
That was really cool.
What?
See, it was used for good.
So
Ben
he was doing a concert and he had the chat roulette screen on
going
and he made a song out of everything that they were typing.
Okay, yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So yeah, the internet became that crazy place where now we have the dark web and unfortunately lots of bad things. But as much as we can talk crap on the internet and how we probably use it too much and we need to take breaks from it, it is incredible what we have at our fingertips and how I mean, this podcast is a perfect example. We have to use the internet for literally everything we do on the podcast, to upload it, to advertise for it, to put it out in the world. We have to use the internet for all of our research to get our notes. It's
and
just
use the internet to download the program that we're recording on.
Exactly.
We
it's
use
everything.
The internet to order the microphones.
Yes, the microphones we're talking
Amazon.
On were ordered
and
online.
And you need to order microphone stands.
Okay.
Yes,
and,
Brett. We'll get there.
We're saving money for that.
It's pretty exciting that we have the internet. And I just think it's so crazy that how quickly it kind of came up in the world.
It
was
really
like,
did.
It was just this quick brush.
It was
and then
kind of unstoppable.
Yeah. Once it started, it couldn't be stopped. You know, the military got in on that and then a couple civilians here and there and then finally to the world. And now it's this unstoppable force. We don't even have landlines anymore because mm-hmm. we all use our cell phones that are tiny computers that get internet even when you're just walking through a park.
It's so crazy that even now it's even weird to see people in movies with landlines like the
I
other
know.
Day.
What are you doing?
I was watching Match Point.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where Jonathan Rhys-Meyers gets a call. And he like goes up and he like there's like the pad and the paper next to the phone
yep.
to take messages right next to the phone.
Call Rita.
Yeah. And I don't even know why. It's the first time it's ever happened to me. But I remember seeing it and just being like, huh.
That's interesting. Who's still using
it? We don't do that anymore. No one even takes
Nobody
notes
has
anymore.
That. Yeah, you don't take a note.
Because you can
for
literally
anyone.
Like put someone on, you know, either have your headphones in or put someone on speaker and just
right.
do the note on your phone.
That's our world now.
I brought a book.
You did bring a book. Aww. Look at, I got books. Look at that.
She got books.
I got books. That girl got books.
But I got this book on the internet.
There you
Brett.
Go.
From the library.
But it's still cool that you have a book that you were flipping
you
through real pages.
Real, yeah. real life pages.
So then to wrap up, I just have a couple fun things that I found on the internet about inventions that exist in our world that just kind of have some fun facts. So dry cleaning was invented by accident when someone unintentionally knocked over a kerosene lamp and discovered that it could remove stains from their clothes. Thought that was kind of cool.
Whoa, kerosene what? Removes stains?
Yes. Kerosene
Excuse
is
me?
Used in the cleaner that they use. Like that's why dry cleaners have their whole like intense system. They discovered it from a kerosene lamp.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Welcome.
Welcome to the future. Apartment
also,
Ghost is back.
Yeah. Fun throwback to Thomas Edison, who you may remember invented the electric light bulb, sort of. But he was also responsible for the creation of the tattoo pen. It was patented originally under the title Stencil Pens in Newark, New Jersey. And it was originally intended to be a duplicate device, but then Samuel O'Reilly, another scientist, realized later that it could be modified and used on skin to put ink into the skin. So Edison kind of came up with it, and then it just got
That's kinda
fixed
cool.
a little later on. I know, I thought that was cool.
Ooh!
I didn't even notice this before, but you said his name. Guglielmo Marconi, the inventor of the radio, or, you know. Well,
kind
of,
yeah.
sort of, is the great grandson of John Jameson, the inventor of Jameson's Irish whiskey.
Oh. All these motherfuckers are related.
I know. Okay, and I think those.
But,
are
But you know, technically, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, praise Jesus. And then I have a couple of inventions that were just bizarre. So those were things that
didn't
are
quite work
still
out.
Around in the world. Little fun facts.
Shake weight.
But then.
That shake weight man.
Did not work out.
If you got a better design.
It really kind of crapped out after a while.
If it didn't look like you were just whacking
off. It just didn't look like
off,
a constant
you know
hand
I mean?
Job in action.
Maybe people would use it.
So there was once a thing called a tomaton, which
cool.
was a wearable robot that feeds you tomatoes.
Wait, what?
It was invented by the
why?
Japanese juice vendor Kagome. And it's a robot that sits in a harness behind your head, pulls out tomatoes, and puts them directly in your mouth
why
as you run or
out?
Ride a bike. You know, I'm not sure why that didn't work out because it sounds great.
It
There's
sounds
a little like screenshot
it.
Of this guy.
How many
in the
tomatoes
YouTube video.
Are you eating
no,
that you
look
need
at,
a robot?
Look at this machine. Just okay. get look at what it looked like.
Oh my God.
I know if I play the video, it'll buffer forever, but look, they
it's
came
like
out of
parasite.
His little backpack. He grabbed them with his little arms and put them in your mouth, and he had a big tomato
Wait, those
head.
Those are whole tomatoes?
Look. And then you, like, munch, munch, munch.
Wait, so...
You know,
Wait,
munch,
how do you
munch, munch.
Does it hold the tomato there, or does it just shove it in your mouth?
Ooh, that's a good
oh,
question.
Gosh.
Because
I
those are, like,
or
big tomatoes.
Maybe it didn't work out because it was shoving them in. It was choking everybody.
What if it killed a guy?
Honestly, it could've. All right,
I got it. What was that? Tomaton?
Tomaton. Yeah, I was like, look it up, okay. Folks. It's hilarious. And then there was
it's
a group.
It's weird that that didn't catch on.
I truly don't get it, you know? Then there was the group shaving machine made in the 19th century, which would shave a dozen men at once.
Oh, no.
But it couldn't alter its movements according to face shape, so it was just getting everyone completely unevenly and scraping
that
up
reminds
people's
me of,
faces.
The machine in Casper.
Yes! No, that's exactly what I thought. It's exactly
it's like riding
Casper.
Down. Yes.
And when it misses you completely, uh-huh. when you're not the right size. Yeah. That was the shave machine. It would get one guy nice and good, but then everyone
the
else failed miserably.
Yeah.
The inventor, it was like, I
get
a smooth
him.
Shave. And oh everyone God. Else just had a bunch of shaving cream on their face and was left in the dust.
Sliced to bits.
Sliced to bits.
And then the last one I wanted to read about, there used to be a mousetrap pistol. This 1882 invention by James A. Williams of Texas, of course he was from Texas, takes a very serious approach. Takes a very serious
pistol.
Approach to mice infestations. He will not have it because this product was literally a mouse trap that if a mouse walked onto a certain part of the trap, it would trigger the revolver that would shoot,
oh,
it
shoot
dead
the mouse.
On the floor.
Oh, so yep. It was a gun.
It had a gun.
I thought it was just like a thing that shot mouse traps.
Yes, me too. I was thinking it shot
so
mouse
much,
traps,
and that's
I was
totally
like,
why?
Because
like, yeah. I just like, said mouse
you'd
trap.
You see
pistol.
A mouse running across the floor, and
you
just
go,
aim your mouse trap gun and
see,
shoot it.
Now
and it would
that
just hit
is
it.
Something that would work instead of having a revolver on your floor
well,
that shoots a mouse
thought,
and maybe
like,
almost shoots your ankle off when if you're like doing the dishes
yes.
nearby. Yeah, it's not safe. Your
no,
idea is better, guys.
It just reminds, for some reason in my head, the Jackass mousetrap.
Which
thing,
one?
The one where he dresses as a mouse and he has to like get
oh,
to the
and
cheese.
Go, and there's
and
just
it's
mouse
a, just
traps
a
all
room
over the floor.
Full of mouse traps. And he ends up yes. with like 30 mouse traps hanging off of his body.
Well,
he
good thing
cheese,
they weren't attached to a pistol.
He did get that cheese.
Yep. Those are just my
yeah,
little fun
he'd be
facts.
Dead.
Right.
Okay, so do you guys know what an EMP, like a weaponized EMP is?
Yes.
No.
So, it would only take two if dropped in the right places over the United States. And it would wipe out every single thing that's electrical.
All electronic devices.
All electronics.
Oh.
All of our methods of communications.
No way.
Pacemakers.
Oh,
cars. Unless, I think it's unless they're lined with lead, like are in a protective lead case of some mm-hmm. sort. I think that can protect
all
them.
Electric, whoa. All cars with any electronics. So only cars
shut
before
down
like 1980 maybe like would run.
Damn.
Probably earlier than that.
Probably
actually.
Early because
yeah.
lights and shit.
That's true. Yeah. So there's a book, actually. It's called 1 Second After. Did you read 1 Second After?
Yeah. That's, I was thinking about that earlier.
Yeah.
When we were talking
it's
about
nuts.
Like if we lost the internet, lost commute, like
we
lost
we
phones
lost
and internet.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that book.
Yeah. So,
yeah, how crazy.
Or the movie Red Dawn.
Or the movie Red Dawn. Yeah, exactly. So in 1 Second After, basically, it's written by an actual military man. And I call him military man because I don't fucking know what he does, but I know he is in the military.
Okay.
And it's about a family, a father and his two daughters, I believe. And basically what would happen if this happened to the United States and like how people would react.
Right.
And like the interesting things about the book were just like the things that we don't think about. Like, for yeah. example, one of his daughters was diabetic.
Mm.
She needs insulin.
Right.
You need a refrigerator
yep.
to keep the insulin cold. So once her insulin is out and there's no, I mean, the thing is it's not like, well, let's just repair it. No, there's no repairing it. There's no power. There's
and
no electronics.
Don't people use to check their blood sugar? Don't a lot of people use little electronic
yeah.
things too
yeah.
to check?
So, and just thinking of like the way that, you know, we might still have running water, but we wouldn't have a way to have like safe running water.
Sure.
Because that's all electrical.
Yeah, 'cause the water treatment plants are
totally
down.
Yes.
It would be
so
crap.
You know, they in the book, like they start drinking the water from the pool because even though there's, you know, chemicals to keep the pool clean.
Well, did they also drink their urine?
They might have drank their urine. Ugh. It gets so dark. It
but,
gets
honestly,
so dark and
what do you
so
do?
Scary because like just the little things like that. And like, obviously it's, you know, that's a post-apocalyptic world. People are going to go crazy. But just like, imagine no lights, no,
that
no,
scares
no
the
heat,
shit out of me.
No cooling, mm-hmm. no water.
No communication.
No communication. No
communication.
No
travel.
No travel.
You can't get to anyone you need to. That is horrifying.
You see the true colors of the people.
Yeah. Well,
because
what will they
the
do?
Book, they start creating like gangs and
yeah.
these clans. And like, mm-hmm. if you don't, you know, join them, they come after you or hurt mm-hmm. you or rape you.
But the
or,
thing is, sure. is like, think about it. I mean, you're fine if you have, you know, matches and a lighter or whatever, because those aren't mechanical. But what happens when those run out? Like, you right. don't have a stove anymore.
Yep.
So you basically
build a fire.
Huh?
You build a
well,
fire.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you know how to build a fire,
oh, yeah,
you'll
I guess
be
that's
fine.
True.
I don't know how to build a fire. Yeah. I can't pop the hood on my car. We talked about this.
We did discover that.
I'm in trouble. Like, yep. I need to find,
that
would
be
and Joe
so
is
rough.
Worse off than I am. So, like, we have to find someone who can help.
You have to find someone
I mean?
Who's
like,
willing to help you, too, if
to
everyone
me,
turns
and, like,
on each other.
Willing to help me, like, feed myself.
Well, I think it was strangers that were turning. Like, I think the friends kind of created their little groups.
You can get to your friends.
But just think about it. Like, cooking.
I know,
no microwaves, no stoves,
things.
No ovens.
Man.
It's bonkers
it's
to
so
think about if we did not have
about.
Technology, like all of our advances. Anyways, we've been talking for 1,000 years.
Yep.
So we'll
it's
just
time
wrap
to
it up.
Wrap it up with that. Sorry to leave you on a dark note, folks.
Sorry about it. Also, just FYI, that's a real weapon that is that the United States does have. That's all the time we have today for Keep It Weird.
Woo.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to our patrons that donate to our show at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. Check that site out if you want to get newsletters and bonus episodes. And obviously, thank you, Brett, for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
That was a really, I learned a lot, actually, about
seriously.
Tesla.
And
thank
his poop
you for
machine.
Your knowledge and the poop
I
machine.
Didn't, that's the best thing about this episode is the a poop machine.
That is 100% the best part
because
of this episode. An oscillating
one,
poop platform.
What? And two, what?
And three, how?
How?
And four,
and four
why?
So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Keep It Weird Cast and our Facebook page, Keep It Weird. Our website also is new and improved and it's up, www.keepitweirdpodcast.com. Next week, we are going to be recording a listener ghost stories episode and it's going to come out on Friday the 13th. So
is it? I can't even
yes.
see that far.
Because like next week,
like really,
well, the thing is,
really
is like next week
things.
We're going to be doing this thing, and then like the next week we're going to record, and then
no,
on
you're
Friday
so
the 13th,
right.
yes, Friday
Yay!
The 13th,
How
and then
perfect.
On the Saturday the 14th is our live show. A lot of fun stuff coming
oh,
up.
Dream
Very excited.
Weaver.
Brett, what's our sign off this week?
Huh?
What's our sign off?
What's our sign off?
What I don't know. What is it usually?
I don't know.
Oh, I make
choose.
It.
Yeah, yeah, the guest makes that.
Kids, listen to your parents and eat your vegetables.
You know Wait. What? That was our first sign off on this show.
What do you mean?
That
you
was said,
our very
eat
first
your
one.
Veggies
I
and
did
keep it
say
weird.
That. We're two of a kind.
Oh my
I
God.
Did say eat your veggies and keep it weird
yes.
on episode one.
So kids, eat your vegetables, right?
Yeah,
yeah. and listen to your parents.
Oh, and listen
oh,
to your
listen
parents.
Listen to your parents, absolutely. Unless your parents are assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to listen to them or you get a whipping.
An adult?
True.
No, that sucks too.
Kids,
I don't know.
Mind your manners.
Mind your manners.
Eat your veggies.
Eat your veggies.
And keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
Yay.
Hi, friend.
Welcome to my home. The cats don't leave you alone.
Yep. Oh, maybe she just needed one little... No.
Nope.
No. Are you, is she tickling you?
She's just going at it. I think she's licking me now.
Now she has his shoe pinned down between her paws so she can get a great grip.
Penny, you're being so distracting. Mommy's working.
Your shoe is her scratching post right now. It's amazing.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne.
Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.